Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And today we're going to be doing something gorgeous and fun. We are going to be reviewing 2026 Coachella. Biebercella, Sabrinacella, Addisoncella, Cat's Eyecella, many cellas. But there's a more important cella that's happening. It's called Evolution of a Snake on tour in a city near you in North America cella. And you can go to evolutionofsnake.com to get tickets. We're coming to New York, Chicago, Boston, DC, Philly, LA, Vancouver, San Francisco, Montreal, and Toronto.
What?
Girls,
not Montreal.
Get your ass up and get those tickets. Yeah. It's starting soon. Tour starts in like 2.5-3 weeks. We are so beyond ready for opening night at the Bell House. Oh, we have low ticket warnings in LA and New York. So if you want your tickets, get your ass up and go get those tickets. But we're so excited to see you. And one thing I can tell you for free is that we will not be sitting on stage watching YouTube videos.
No, I'll tell you that for free. I'll tell you that for free. There was a time when we did try to incorporate videos.
We tried it, didn't work.
The shows, but we realized that it didn't fucking work. Like, we were like, oh, this actually, people don't like it. So we stopped doing it. I think we did it once, and then we were like,
even though it was to our great amusement. Although one thing that we did that was really iconic when we were doing the 2019 live recap episode and we premiered the Me music video in full before we came back on stage, that was pretty iconic.
And that's the kind of thing that people are interested in. That's what people want to see. They want to watch the Me music video. We premiered it. We premiered it.
We premiered it.
2024. We premiered the Me music video. Period. And people like that, you know.
And they loved that. But don't worry, the showgirl experience is an experience. And I don't believe that an experience is doing karaoke to YouTube videos. Personally, that's just my apparently unpopular opinion.
That's really funny that you say that, because where I'm looking, everybody is on his ass like grass. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching and I'm observing. I'm observing.
I'm happy
it,
to hear it, because I'm currently getting botted by believers. I'm getting badly botted on TikTok.
Well, don't forget, they may have been dormant. They may have been dormant, but it's a volcano and it can erupt at any time. Beliebers, they are the original psychos.
Mm-hmm. No, they are. They're the OG guard dogs. Think Swifties are bad?
Yeah.
No, this was back in the day when Swifties were pretending to be nice. Do you remember when the Beliebers were being evil? Swifties were like... Yeah. And this is crazy to think now, actually, in 2026. For a long time, Swifties were known as the nice fan base. The nice people.
You hear that?
And Taylor would always talk about how nice her fans were. Little did she know that we would turn into, like, the supreme terrorists of the universe.
She doesn't say that anymore.
She doesn't say that anymore, because it ain't true. But the Beliebers, they are out in full force. I think, you know what? Coachella this year... I saw multiple TikToks of people because, you know, I'm boots on the ground. I fell into Coachella algorithm and I've been following people from the spectrum of super rich influencer invited to stay at Starbucks house, completely flamed and lambasted because they were, this is kind of embarrassing. They were doing this Starbucks boycott and they've turned around to go and attend Starbucks Coachella house. It's a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. What is the Starbucks house?
For influencers is they have activations. So Coachella, the venue itself is in the middle of nowhere. It's like in the middle of a desert. So if you want to go, it's easiest if you have accommodation in the Indio Valley, which is around there. So the brands will create these houses or rent houses and remodel them to be in their image and invite influencers to come and stay there and give them artist passes and drive them in golf carts to the festival and let them skip queues to get food and invite them to all of these parties. Like 818 Tequila had a party, Rode had a party. It's so much more than just the festival. It's actually, I would say, it's more about this activation stuff than it is about the music itself. And I've been seeing the mental breakdowns going on about all of this. It's like wealth inequality is clearest in Coachella. It's really, whether you're in GA car camping or you're at the Starbucks house, it's different. But everyone was saying, everyone from the top elite people invited into the artist pass area to the GA, it was fucking different this year. It was, there were, people were walking around going, this is going to be Astroworld. Like, it was crowd crush. It was too many people. It was scary. People were being really aggressive and mean to each other.
I feel like saying Astroworld at a festival is the equivalent of saying Titanic on a cruise.
No, it's evil. And they were saying it to the people in the front row of Justin Bieber. Front row of Justin Bieber, Astroworld, Astroworld, okay, and wait. I don't care. I'm going to stampede you,
what's
bitch.
What's this going on?
This is
on?
What they were saying to each other. Oh, this was but going on. Tana Mojo was talking about this. Tana she Mojo said heard this with her ears.
People were being crowd crushed, or she heard people saying it.
She heard people saying, so she went to the front of Barricade and she was like, I'm going to just stand here for Justin. I love him. I can't wait. And haters who were mad that other people were in front of them were walking around going, this is going to be Astroworld. I don't care about these bitches. As soon as he comes on, I'm going to stampede. It was manipulative.
That's really scary.
This is not what festivals are supposed to be. Like, if you think about something like Glastonbury, Glastonbury has such a culture, so much so that, like, you can't just go and buy a Glastonbury ticket. You have to register with their platform. You have to send a picture of yourself. Like, it's so, they're really intentional about making sure that everybody there is there to have a good time and to look out for one another. Coachella is, because it's full of influencers, it's full of the most selfish, brainless people in this world. Apparently they were talking all the way through the sets. They were complaining. They were just there to take pictures. And it's like, to me, if you go to Coachella, what are you expecting? That's what I would expect from Coachella.
Well, you know, I was thinking because, and I said this to you in one of our conversations, I was like, I feel like either I'm getting fed more Coachella content or there is more Coachella content this year from influencers or just from the average Joe who's like, I'm going to Coachella, I'm going to show people what it's like, whatever. But there was tons and tons of it. And I had a thought. I was like, how is these crowds being mostly full of either real influencers or wannabe influencers going to affect how the crowds actually behave? And obviously, like, I wasn't there. And, you know, when I'm watching these sets, I'm only getting short views of the set. But it's like, the only set that I watched with my two eyeballs that I thought the crowd was behaving like they were at a show was Slater. Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah. There were crickets. They were just standing there.
Oh, there were multiple crickets. Addison Rae, and she clocked them. She was like, you guys are a bad crowd. And I know that was a bit, but she was being dead serious.
Oh, she was completely serious. So it's like, really,
that's the worst crowd to perform for is a bunch of haters who have been standing in the sun all day to see Justin Bieber. That is a crowd of people I would never want to perform for.
No, it was very unfortunate. The crowd, and it's like, the influencer thing is like, you're just here because you think it's gonna, like, you're gonna be able to monetize this experience in some way, shape, or form. But it's like, there are people here who are cooking in the California desert sun all fucking day because they want to see their favorite artist. And
they
you
love music.
Are there for Porquet? We're still asking. You want to make videos. It's not interesting to anybody.
You want to take pictures.
At the next one, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be an uprising. It's going to be the haves versus the have-nots, storming Starbucks house, et cetera, et cetera. Storm it.
Well, the influencers were getting pissed because the artist section, which was supposed to be really exclusive, has opened up to too many people. So now the haves are getting infiltrated by the have-nots, and they don't like it. They don't. And this is the thing. It's like, it's a festival. People are going to push you. People are going to make noise. You know, it's supposed to be uncomfortable. That's kind of the thing about a festival. It's not a luxury experience. You're supposed to be, the whole point of it is that you're one of the people. You're one of many. You're not special. You are in it with everyone for the plot, for the bit. And let me tell you, that spirit was not embodied at Coachella this weekend.
No.
And you couldn't pay me to go. Not even with the Starbucks house. Actually, especially not with the fucking Starbucks house. Goodbye.
No. And you know what? All else aside, Starbucks house is probably one of the tackiest ones.
It was. And they were giving out free unicorn frappuccino.
I thought that was made up.
It is, but they made it especially for Coachella.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. That's really interesting.
The one event I wanted to attend was Rhode.
I was just about to say,
Rhode activation.
I want to go to the road event. That sounds like a lot of fun. It's probably like, it's going to be like when I went to Mecca and it was like, like it's probably going to be like that. But I'm interested. I'm interested. I'd like to go.
Well, here's the thing. I'm renaming Justin Bieber Mr. Peptide Lip Treatment because I'm over him and I'm all about Hailey Bieber. I love her. She's my diva now. I love her brand. She's cool. She's chic. She's unfortunately married to Justin Bieber. But, you know, Mr. Peptide Lip Treatment, take some notes.
Yeah. He just released, she just released like a collaboration with Justin, didn't she, for Road? It was like, oh, the Justin line or whatever.
Dragging her brand down.
It was Banana.
Dragging her brand down.
So
for
I was
man.
Interested. I like Banana. So that was interesting to me. But
Hailey Bieber's kind of the ITG IRL right now. And I don't begrudge that of her for one second. No. I think she walked through the trenches. And also, you know, there's something very karmic about her being the ultimate believer and getting to be front row at Coachella and the camera panning to her and the crowd going wild. Hailey Bieber is living like every fangirl's dream, basically. Like she is in a fanfic.
And that's why they hate her. It's the Selena Gomez fans, which, okay, fair. You can hate all you want. But then it's
there's bigger stuff going on in the home front with the Selena Gomez fans.
They have a bigger fish to fry, I assure you. I assure you. I will never forget when I saw the picture of Benny Blanco's dirty feet and then the picture of Selena Gomez kissing them. I said, you know what? That's enough Selena and Benny to last a lifetime.
That's it. After the cheese bathtub. No, it's enough.
It's enough. Thank you. So Hailey Bieber, you're cool.
Hailey Bieber, some points to you. So basically, why don't we start with, I think, who we can all agree, diva of the weekend. One Miss Sabrina Carpenter. I was so, you know, with Coachella, I think the most exciting thing about it is that you get to, if you're a headliner, you get to create something that is meant to be done once and once only. And when you really think about it, like pop stars are touring all the time. They don't get to really put their whole idea into one execution of an idea or a thought or a show. And I think, you know, Gaga did this with Gagachella. She actually turned it into a tour, which I think is really smart. And Sabrina, potentially, I think there's definitely mileage to tour this because it was an amazing show. But all the set pieces, the Sabrina Wood, everything about it, it felt so special and so tailor-made for this occasion. And I was like, this is what I think a Coachella headliner should do.
Yeah, I thought that Sabrina set was obviously like the most fully realized. Like people are throwing out all kinds of numbers lately. They're just making shit up in the comments. $10 million this, $10 million there, 7 months here, 8 months there. But like, I would believe that they spent probably at least 4 or 5 months getting this show together, getting the outfits together, getting the set pieces together, planning the set pieces, designing it, figuring out what it was going to be. I really liked the Sabrina Wood theme, and I really liked her dedication to paying homage to like Hollywood legends like Sam Elliott, like Susan Sarandon. I didn't know who the other person in that Susan Sarandon sketch was. Never heard of him.
Now here's where you don't care. He was from her show, her Disney show, Boy Meets Girl or whatever. Girl Meets
and
World.
And here's where I don't know that. And here's
That's why
where
you don't
I don't
care.
Know that.
Yeah.
But I also loved, this was actually my least favorite set. The one that was referencing Flashdance and Dirty Dancing. The one where she's in the blue sweater.
And it was cut, but the issue was the pacing of that. Like,
but
yeah, we'll get into it.
I loved the references. Like, I it was very, like, referential. My favorite set was the final, not the one with the cars, but the one where she's doing Espresso with all the crazy people in it.
Oh,
now that was Sabrina Wood. That was Sabrina Wood. I mean, obviously, there's, like,
also
critiques going through, but, like, overall, of all the ones that I watched, it was definitely, like, the most, like, whoa, this is a set one that I saw.
If I were a pop star and the word showgirl inspired me, I would really be looking at this as an execution of what a showgirl concept could really be, especially towards the end of the set. I was like, Taylor's not coming. She's not coming. She's not coming. But when we got to that final set and she was doing bed cam and then all of a sudden it became a real showgirl cabaret moment, I was like, oh, it's happening. You don't know the life of a showgirl and you're never, ever gonna. She's coming out. And then she didn't. That was a real missed opportunity. But then again, if Taylor comes out at Sabrina's set, she takes all the shine away from Sabrina, which I think, now this is my main critique of Sabrina's set. I think it was a little bit too soon for her to be a headliner because the whole point of a Coachella set is that you're supposed to be front to back gag. It's supposed to be gag song after gag song. Like when you think about Gaga or Beachella, like – you are not sitting down the entire time, basically, except for maybe like one or two moments. But with Sabrina, I think that part that we talked about earlier that sagged, which we'll get into as you go through the set list, those were mostly songs that people DGAF about. And the pacing, I think, would have been better if she had more hits to really, really pad it out. When we're thinking about it, Sabrina is really working with two albums for a Coachella set. That is not enough albums to work with, in my opinion. But you know what? Justin Bieber is proof that you can have all the albums and still create a bad set. So I think Sabrina did the absolute best with what she's got. But I think a year, 2 years, just a little smidge bit longer, and she could have had front to back.
I totally agree. My like overarching opinion on the set was that the bookends, the beginning and the end, were amazing. The middle was like this. I was bored. I was bored, 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 bored. And they were even, she's even referencing Dirty Dancing, one of my favorite movies of all time. I couldn't care less because I'm going to sleep.
And a lot of slow moments.
Yeah,
and it's like we're cutting out nonsense to do such a funny way and sugar talking. Wrong choice.
I just
choice.
Realized she never did nonsense.
Wrong
Hold
choice.
On.
Wrong choice. And good graces. That has a beat. Let's
Wait.
Do good graces.
I didn't even realize that. And I remember when I was watching it, I was like thinking, I had a thought like as I'm watching the set, I was like, ooh, I wonder what she's going to close with. And I was like, ooh, maybe nonsense, because that was kind of like the hit that led to her, other than Espresso, obviously. And then it didn't happen and I completely forgot about it. But that is shocking. No, I'm silent.
Yeah, it's shocking that it wasn't
But we did
there.
Such a like, funny way.
This is what it doesn't make – it doesn't make any
it doesn't
sense,
make sense
to me. And I think
sense.
Also she has – she definitely has more upbeat songs that could have padded that part of the set out. That song Fast Times from Emails I Can't Send. Okay, that was your opener last time you were at Coachella. You could have used that. We could have done Nonsense. We could have done Good Graces from Short and Sweet. There were things that could have been put there, but
choices.
Instead she wanted to have a memento of whatever that was. Why don't we start with the first part of the set, the intro. She loves like a Hitchcock moment. She loves a black and white movie. She is a pinup girl. And I thought that centering it all, the storyline of the show was a little bit convoluted to me.
It was.
It was a little bit like, what? And if the storyline was like, I once was nothing and now I'm everything, I would have gotten it. But Susan Sarandon, my poor diva, that just, I don't know. And the beginning was confusing too. Like the intro video was cool, but I was like, what does it mean?
Yeah, I agree too. It's like, are you sure you want to go? There's a very dark, mysterious place. Are you sure you want
to
go? And it's like, okay, I get that.
Dark, mysterious place.
I get that. It's like maybe they're trying to say, like, do you really want to go to Hollywood? Do you really want to try to make it? Do you really want to do that? And it's like, okay, that I get. But then why are we doing Susan Sarandon as Sabrina in, you know, 40 years looking back at her career? Like, what does that mean?
And then we have Will Ferrell. That was the part that really I was like, no, this is the randomista extra. This is the extra randomista.
She got a little bit too into her who can I get on stage bag. And we know a girl who once asked herself, who can I get up on this stage?
Who could I possibly get?
It was very tailor-coded. When Will Ferrell came out, I was like, you know what? At least this is somebody that every single person in the audience recognizes. Because it's like, Sam Elliott is incredibly famous. I'm not saying that he's not. But I bet there were people in the audience going, now who's that? And the same thing for Susan Sarandon. And the same thing for Boy Meets World.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But it's like,
in my live stream,
everybody
people were
knows
like, who's
him.
This Kia? Who's this hag to Susan Sarandon? And I was like, silence, hag. I said, silence, you fucking beast.
They need to
and
stop
you know
with the H word. You know how I feel about the H word.
Especially
they need
when
to
you're referring to an older woman. Shut the fuck up. But my thing with that was, I love the idea of her in her Sabrina wig doing I'm Sabrina from the future. But it was like, what are you talking about? It sounded like she was just making it up on the spot. And they said, you need to do this for 7 minutes and then let her go. They didn't test her mic. Like it was just too much. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But like the guests overall, I would have preferred a musical guest and cut out all the
cameos. We would have preferred a musical guest.
People were saying Olivia Rodrigo is going to come out. And I was like, you guys are demented.
That would have been the day, though.
I think everything in the world would have been solved if that happened.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so we get into the opening segment. She's in her car. Now, what do we think was more cunt? Lana on her motorcycle or Sabrina in her car? I'm actually going to say Lana on her motorcycle.
I'm going to say Lana,
too. unbelievable levels of cum.
Oh, the gag that was. I remember watching it and being like, oh my God, she's coming. And then, of course, and then, you know, the set was what it was. But that was on one of the best Coachella entrances ever. So it's really hard to beat that. But Sabrina's entrance was, I thought it was cute. I liked it. I liked it.
And I loved her first fit. It's very Sharon Tate to
yes.
me. I loved it.
Was very,
it. I
very
it was
cute. Very Hollywood. Very, very Hollywood. Cantina. Very Sabrina. Just very gorgeous. Red is a gorgeous color. Red is a great color to open the night with. It says, I'm here,
and that
I'm
kind
bold,
of rusty,
I'm confident.
Yeah. I liked it. It wasn't
it
like
was desert.
A bright red. Yeah, it desert. Was desert tones. Actually, desert tones the entire time, basically. Because
she
someone
said,
understands a theme.
At least somebody does. At least somebody does. And her name
at
is
At least
Miss Sabrina.
Somebody does. So she gets onto the stage. She's got a little suitcase. She's got her coat. And she's lighting up the Hollywood Walk of Fame, basically. I thought that was so cunt. I thought it was so cute. And then she drops the bag. She takes off the coat. She looks over her shoulder. And she goes, take your shoes off. And house tour begins. And can I tell you, I ascended into a different level of being. I saw colors I've never seen before. I saw shapes that I didn't know existed. And I was speaking Chinese, Japanese, English, French, Italian, German. It was amazing. Celestial.
It was very much like, especially the first part of the set, it was very much like, oh, now this is like a classic pop star, like larger than life performance. That's what I was thinking when I was first watching it. I just thought that it was so, I don't know, it just makes you happy. It's the kind of thing that you watch and you're like, this is making me feel the thing that music is supposed to make me feel. You know what I mean?
And I also just thought like the camera work for the house tour performance was so beautiful. And
great.
I kept thinking like when it was zooming out and showing the way that the lights were going on the crowd and also showing Sabrina traveling up through those hills, I thought the sets were so beautiful. This to me was stunning. The Hollywood Hills thing was so beautiful. And I remember there's this moment where she like turns over, you know, never enter through the back door. And somehow she locates the camera wherever the hell it is and looks straight into the lens. And I was like, see, this is what being a pop star is. Being a pop star is, I feel like this is what people feel when they climb a mountain and they realize the world is so huge and I am but a teeny tiny specter in the state of all this grandiosity. Like the human accomplishment of music, of looks, of style, of charisma that brings you to a place of never enter through the back door, wink to the camera. It's, I'm so serious. It's everything. And I was like, in this moment, I thought she was made for this.
Mm-hmm. She was. This is what she was meant to do, and here she is doing it, and we're watching it. And that's the power of the human spirit, and this is what it truly means to be a human being. Never forget
what
that.
What was
ladies.
I made for? House tour. That's literally
yeah,
what I was,
I
made,
was
for.
Made for. House tour. I was made for house tour. Thank you.
We and she did the Pretty Girl Avenue part twice. I was like, yep, run it back. Let's do it a third time. Let's do it a fourth time. Let's
she knows they
time.
Like it.
She knows we they love like it. It. We love yeah. it, Sabrina, if you're listening. And then this, actually, I think this opening part was my favorite part of the set. And something I appreciate about every song had its own thing and moment going on. There was something different for every single song. She rarely did like the same thing in the same place or set or design. I loved the performance of Taste. I thought that the staging was so cunt and chic. And I loved the little piano arrangement that they did with it. And she reworked all the songs that she's been performing for years. She made them all sound different. And I just thought that Taste was brava.
I'm really happy that she did Taste. I think Taste is really underrated. I think they're not
one of her top three songs.
Yeah, for sure. One of the greatest songs ever. It certainly beats the hell out of Tears. I'll tell you that. I prefer Taste to Tears any day. Taste
I was
is
hoping
the hit.
That Tears was done. Like when she came on to Espresso, I was like, show's over. Bye. And then Tears came
I
on
did,
and I was like, surely. No.
I did kind of expect Espresso to be the closing number, but I understand why it wasn't because she obviously had an idea and she knew that was the closing number. So, okay, I get it. But Taste clears. Just my take.
Taste clears. I loved the light up boxes. Very, would you say it was 60s or 70s? I think it's kind of more 70s.
I definitely got like more of a 70s vibe from the whole thing.
Especially the
like
studio.
It was very 70s, 80s kind of vibe.
The studio was very Dreamgirls. You know, when Beyonce's in the house.
It was. And she
she's rich
that,
and
like,
she's moved into the house.
The gold outfit with the cape was really kind of like a Dreamgirls outfit.
Oh, that was cunt. Yeah. Then she gets into Busy Woman. And I was like, you know what else she could have done in that, sorry, in that like SAG place? 15 minutes. Why not do that?
Yeah, 15. No, there's no 15 minutes here either.
There's
I prefer
no
15 minutes to Busy Woman. I prefer 15 minutes to
I
Busy
agree.
Woman.
I actually agree. Busy Woman is good, take. But I think we should have had 15 minutes. And also, I think those songs are kind of linked. I think they should be done together.
Me too. Yeah. We have notes.
Boo!
Critiques. But I liked the performance of Busy Woman. But
Then we got into Manchild, and it was Cats the musical, but naked dogs.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I liked that she kind of like took the album cover and like flipped it on its head and like had the men be the dogs. I was like, see, now this is what we should have done from the start. This is what we should have been doing from the absolute beginning. Like, this is funny. This is funny. Whatever that was not very funny, but this is hilarious.
And the stage rotating, it was kind of.
And the dog choreography was really good. Because yeah, they were like doing dog, but then they were doing, it was like really goofy.
Dancing and dog.
The fact that they were poodles is like the most humiliating dog possible.
Exactly.
It was hilarious. No, I liked it a lot. Exactly. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
It made me think a couple of things. One, first of all, and so this is something I noticed. Did you also think that her vocals were incredible this entire night?
They were, yeah. They were really good.
She was really singing, and she sounded really confident. Manchild, I was like, this was really the safest option for a single, and I stand by House Tour should have been the lead single from Man's Best Friend.
Wasn't it? It wasn't?
No. Manchild was. I'm saying House Tour should have been.
Oh, that's what you're saying. I was like, wait a second. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manchild is good.
Now it's hard to like imagine it. You know what I mean? Because Manchild was so like the moment that I'm like, I can't really imagine if it was House Tour. It probably would have gagged. Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't have a strong opinion on that.
Then she does a Some Like It Hot interlude, which we were born to do that. I one thing that was missing from this set was a complete reenactment of Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Yeah, if she really wanted to play ball, she could have done Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, or she could have done Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, would have also gone crazy.
Oh, cunt. Any Marilyn.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we get the live debut of When Did You Get Hot? The gasp was amazing. That I gasped when Sabrina Wood came rising up and she was wearing that outfit. A lot of people were like, that's ugly. I thought that was cunt.
I liked it. I definitely wouldn't say that it was, I would never say that it was ugly. It was like again, we're talking Dreamgirls, we're talking 70s. Like, she was doing like 70s Hollywood, and I thought that was like a perfect outfit for it. Sabrina Wood, the letters rising up. I mean, this is a set.
This is a set. I also think maybe the first part of the show was too stacked, because then she gets into Please, Please, Please. We're six songs in, and again, we have that sagging middle part. I'm kind of like, we should have saved Please, Please, Please for that part of the set where there was not a hit detected. That's where it needed to go.
That's exactly where it needed to go. I liked the staging of this one. I think, honestly, I know this kind of like defeats the purpose of every song having its own moment. I feel like I would have preferred it just at the Sabrina Wood set, because I liked that set so much more. And like the it obviously was to pull focus so they could do something else, you know, like all the crew and the cat, they're doing something that we're not supposed to see. But like, I thought it was a little boring, was my only take on the Please, Please, Please
for
set.
Such
like,
a big
obviously,
hit.
It was like 70s and that's great, but I just thought it was a little, it could have been bigger.
Now, you want to talk boring? Let's go into We Almost Broke Up Again last night. Let's talk
when
about that.
When she sat down at the piano, I was like,
no, I was
oh,
over.
No.
It's over. It's over.
No one
it's
sit
over.
At the piano.
No. Not
no,
you.
No. Not
you, Sabrina.
She definitely needed a moment to sit down. I'll give her that. But like, We Almost Broke Up Again last night, forgettable to me. I forgot it existed, for example. I did not know this was a song that was out there in the world. So that was interesting. It was interesting.
And there was also the controversy, and this is ridiculous because it is not a controversy, of someone yelling and her going, did you just yodel? And then the person goes, that's my culture. And she goes, that's weird. Can everybody just take a moment to remember that she is headlining Coachella? She's on a live stream of like, I don't know, 85 million people. She is just riffing off the cuff with people in the front row. That was actually, I thought, being good humored. She was playing. She was having banter with the crowd. How the hell was she supposed to know that, like, and that also, the way the person said it sounded like a joke. It's my culture. Like, I would have said something like that too. Screaming is my culture. Ha ha ha. So I forgive Sabrina for not immediately clocking that that was
the LGBT community has forgiven Sabrina.
It's not my place. And I know I can see the comments. It's not your place to forgive her because you know what? You know what? She apologized. So what else do you want from her?
Yeah.
She said, I didn't know. Like, I didn't realize. Thing. I'm really sorry. And she that's all you have to say to her after this performance is fuck you.
Right. She apologized. So there's really no need to keep like dragging it out. I think people don't appreciate what it's like to be live to have cameras all over you and to hear a strange noise very loudly to your left. And like me have a microphone and go, what is that?
I wouldn't automatically go, oh, that is a cultural event that's happening in the front row at Sabrina Carpenter at Coachella.
No. So I think I agree. She apologized. So I think we should all just
And it was also, it was playful. She was having banter. It was fun. She wasn't seriously being like, get out of my show, girls. Yes.
It was supposed to be
Sabrina's
funny.
Very like sarcastic. So let's take that into consideration. Nobody's Son was cute.
Yeah, Nobody's Son was cute, although I was thinking in my mind, this is a song that it seems like she always does the production of it, like the performance itself, as an afterthought. Like on SNL, afterthought.
What was
and
that?
And then just like at the bar, like I guess it was kind of cute, but I was like, this is, people love this song and it's like viral, you know what I mean? So it's like, we could have a little bit of a moment, but just sitting at the bar, again, she has to sit down. So it's like,
well, she could have done Go-Go Juice at the bar. Why didn't we put Go-Go Juice at the bar? Hello?
She's an interesting person. She makes her own choices. She has free will. And she exercises that free will in an interesting way. But Nobody's Son, I always find that the live performances, I'm always just kind of like, eh, it's okay. Not as good as the song is. Yeah.
Well, now here's where she started to lose me, because I liked a boy. How are we doing nonsense?
She had to do it.
How are we not doing nonsense and we're doing this?
She had to do it. She needs to let them know slut shaming is wrong. And I agree. Mm-hmm. But I think she really, really gave it a moment. She was singing.
And the crowd was quiet.
They were. No, I think that she thinks this song is like one of the most important. Like it's like her Christ on the cross moment. This is my look what you made me do. This is my, you know, big moment. You know, my piece of me, something like that. And I don't think the fans feel that way. I'll just put it that way.
I think the Carpenters do. The Carpenters think this is the best thing ever created.
The Carpenters do. The Carpenters do. I think they definitely will defend that song till the end. I support the song. I support its existence. I even support her right to perform it. I'm just saying, no, not everybody was moved. I'll put it that way.
No, not everybody was moved. And concluding this part of the set was My Man on His Willpower. I love this song so much. I loved the idea of the staging. I think the treadmill was too fast. The treadmill was going. She is little. She's itty bitty. She has little legs and big shoes on. Slow it down. She was like fighting against it. She was lagging behind the track of the song. And I was like, who set her up?
Yeah. And like how many times, you know, this has been rehearsed. So how did they not say, maybe it was an accident?
You know what? The wind as well. The wind, I'm sure, really was not helping with that. Because you're not only fighting against the force of the treadmill, you're also going against the wind, maybe. So that could really mess you up.
I think, for the most part, the treadmill aside, for the most part, I think the wind really played in her favor. Like, it was very glamorous. But I did watch some of CMAT's set, and she had, like, a really short dress on that kept, like, blowing up. And she had to stand there holding the skirt down, like, in front of her so that it wouldn't blow up.
Now, these are predictable. That's like, a predictable issue.
Now, come on,
Coachella's
kind
of known for being a little bit windy.
You get one of those little pairs of shorts that you wear under your dress, and you just rock it. Let them know.
That's what Taylor did.
I'm here. Those are my shorts. Any questions?
And then she gets sucked into the stage like the Eras Tour. She fell through a hole, and I said, okay, great. And then they're calling it on Setlist FM a spoken word poem by Susan Sarandon.
Right.
First of all, did we not think that perhaps maybe putting a barrier, like she's in a car with a window potentially, put the window up while she's speaking so that the wind doesn't attack her microphone?
Right. Yeah. That was complete. The whole thing. The thing is, I supported Susan Sarandon. I supported the car dialogue. I even supported what it was about. Even though it was kind of convoluted, I was like, okay, you know, whatever.
It was just too long.
It was just too gosh darn long. It was too goddamn long.
And it could have been good.
And it could have been really good. And then at the end, when they do the, now I understand why this happened, because he had to be there. We didn't have a lot of jobs for him. Just, you're the movie theater boy who's trying to get off his shift. But what if I want another drink? That's none of my business, lady.
Mm-hmm. It's none of my business,
out.
Lady.
And I was like, why am I watching an interaction that I've had 15,000 times at Coachella? Why am I watching
it? Didn't
this?
Make sense. It just, it
no,
was,
it didn't make
there
sense.
Was no, it, there was no profundity to it. And also it very much felt like an advertisement for whatever that Square reader was. Was it a Square reader? I don't know. It just felt like this was giving product
maybe
placement
so.
Majorly.
Maybe so. Did you know that?
She's like,
just a
do I need to insert my chip?
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
It Does
was
it tap?
Very,
well, yes, of course it taps.
You see?
It was an ad. It was an ad for Square.
It was an ad.
It was an ad for Square.
And you know what?
Now we've
figured
it out.
If it bought me Sabrina would sign, fine.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we need advertising. We need funding. We do. Mm-hmm.
Then she gets into her Bob Fosse set, her Paula Abdul, her Dirty Dancing, and she starts with Go-Go Juice, which, again, it's fun, but it's an album track that I don't think the crowd would have been familiar with. And they were behaving as though they were not familiar with it.
No, they didn't know it. I knew it. I knew every word.
I love that song.
I knew every word. But the outfit confounded me. I was like, okay, I understand we're trying to reference Flashdance. We're referencing 80s. We're in the cute little tights, leggings, if you will, and we're in our little blue sweater. I love the blue sweater. But I was like, we could have come up with something a little bit cuter, no? Like, it's just kind of bland.
Oh, I liked it. I liked
it. Well, it was cute,
I it was
but
chic,
I mean...
But it was boring.
Chic. Chic. I would agree with chic. Chic. Chic.
It was kind of Parisian. And when she gets to Don't Smile,
Parisian.
She's definitely doing Paris.
Yeah, so I liked it for that. For Go-Go Juice...
No, Go-Go Juice, again, that was supposed to be done with Nobody's Son. After Please, Please, Please.
Period. So I enjoyed it, but this was to me, again, I understand what we were doing. It was by far the ugliest set. It was just kind mm-hmm. of like, it was like very like structural and like industrial. Again, 80s, we're doing Flashdance, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I understand the whole reference point. I wasn't cheering. That's all I would like to say.
Then we get into Such a Funny Way. Nobody moved. I can't stress to you how much nobody moved.
And she did Sugar Talking and I didn't move for that either.
Oh, that one was a real big cricket. And you could tell that that was supposed to be like a real moment from the show and wasted on a song nobody knows or cares about. I'm sorry. If you're not a carpenter,
now, why,
you don't give a fuck.
Using the iconic Dirty Dancing choreography to just do Sugar Talking had me silent. That doesn't even relate to Dirty Dancing. That's what you don't even know.
No,
it's unrelated. And
the issue also with Coachella is that you are not doing a Sabrina Carpenter show. You're supposed to be playing to the widest audience possible. So you really have to think about what's going to keep people's attention. You know what would have kept people's attention here? Nonsense. Or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
People know those songs.
I think Nonsense would have really livened this particular part of the set up. This is the set from the costume to the actual set design to the actual set itself that I said we need to workshop imminently because this is it just... sag.
Well, what about your favorite song, Don't Smile? Nobody was
greatest song in
the
world. Listen, don't even get it twisted. Greatest song in the world. But even though I'm the Don't Smile stan of the century and I really liked hearing it, in fact I cried tears because I was like so excited to hear it. I love that song so much. It's like one of my randomistas. I do have to acknowledge nobody else cares. Nobody else cares.
And she made it seem like the show was over, kind of. It kind of felt like the show was over. And I was like, at this point, the pacing of the show has been interrupted one too many times. Like Susan Sarandon made everybody feel weird. Don't Smile now is making everybody feel like the show is over? Question mark. What's going on?
And also the park bench. Again, they're pulling focus from the main stage. I understand that. She has to be on the catwalk. Does she have to just be sitting on a park bench?
Can we do something different?
Can we
fly in the air?
I'm asking. Can we fly in the air? Can we fly in the air for Don't Smile?
No, at Coachella, these are reasonable, normal questions. Can we fly in the air?
There's something to that. Yeah, Don't Smile is very much like, not necessarily like the final song, but it's like, I don't know, it's towards the end. She's sticking it kind of like, you know, in the middle almost.
I'm saying this set should have been Go-Go Juice, 15 minutes, Nonsense, and Good Graces. That's what it should have been.
Period. And those are dancey songs.
Mm-hmm. She could have kept the energy up, 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 up. But the energy does come back. Thank God. We really needed it to come back. Then we get into an extended intro of Copacabana, which I thought was mm-hmm. fun, into Feather. I'm always like, why is Feather the diva of emails I can't send? It's clearly Nonsense. I like Feather, but Nonsense is more fun.
I loved the way that they did Feather this time. The part where they put their feathers out and it looks like her skirt almost, or like you can only see her face out of the feathers. That was really cute. I really liked it. This was a moment where I said, "We're so back." You were losing
me
for a second there.
No, 100%.
We are so back. And I loved the set design. Was absolutely gorgeous. And her outfit was killer. I love this outfit. I always love like a two-piece set. And I love the design of this one. It's very gorgeous, very beautiful, very Copacabana. I loved it.
And the interpolation of Copacabana was great. I thought it was really fun. It was really kitschy. Then we get into Bad Chem, which is just the greatest song ever made. And I love the arrangement that they did for Bad Chem here.
Hits. It's nothing but hits.
You know what the comment on the live stream was when that came on? Someone was like, she's copying Taylor. Girls, Taylor didn't invent a chair dance. And let me tell you, she's far from the greatest person to have ever done it. So we need to let that go. The Vigilante but chair dance, we should really be forgetting that.
No, honestly, this is so true. The Vigilante chair dance, and it's like, that was a reference.
Yet that was Taylor ripping someone else off.
Yeah, that was a reference. And everybody, that is fair IP. Everybody can reference Chicago as much as they want. It's one of the greatest references of all time.
This is going back to like the 20s. Paris, yeah. Cabaret, yeah. Hello?
Yeah, come
What's
on.
What's going
hello?
On here?
Come on. So period.
And yeah. And Sabrina is a showgirl. Next up, that also was weird because it was just two songs and then we immediately do another interlude. The Will Ferrell interlude, he clearly had no lines. Like, he was just spouting. When he tried to light the cigarette, it just wouldn't light. I was like, how did no one think that on the windy stage, lighting a cigarette might be impossible?
Yeah, that was really interesting. We all had to stand there and watch him try to light a cigarette for like 30, 45 seconds. That was crazy.
It was DTM.
Him being there, I really don't have an issue with. Like, whatever, something has to happen. So, like, whatever, Will Ferrell can come out. But it's like, I didn't think it was an interesting way to utilize him existing. You know what
he
I mean?
Wasn't being like, funny. He's funny, no, man.
Yeah, he's supposed to be our court jester, and he's not really he's not gestering. He's just not simply doing it. But I think they completely built that entire set for no reason.
So at least that led into Juno. I thought she was going to cut that. I really thought that Juno was gone and we weren't going to be getting her. I was happy to hear her. Madeline, I know it's not your favorite song. How did you feel when she came out?
Well, obviously it's going to happen. That's kind of the thing about Juno. It's like this is like the whole thing. So obviously she's going to do Juno. That moment, there were some comments that I saw people making where it's like her energy's off, like there's something wrong with her, et cetera, et cetera. I don't buy into that. What I would respond to that with would be, this is a very choreographed, you need to be here, then here, 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 very long set. It's very stressful. If it seemed like she wasn't her normal self, like that's probably why. But the only moment where something was kind of strange is when she couldn't get the mallet off to bang the gong. Normally, that's something she would kind of like, that's kind of funny, I can't get the mallet off. When she turns around and looks, she's pissed.
Yeah.
And it shows on her face so much. Not even a little bit. Like, she's mad as fuck, and she wants people to know that she's fucking mad. I was like, oh. And then suddenly, Samuel L. Jackson is talking to us for no reason. Again,
I thought that was really weird.
I just want to have as many stars as possible. One of the most recognizable voices in the world. So I get it, but also I don't.
This to me is like when Tiffany Haddish randomly came in the middle of Look What You Made Me Do. Not necessary. Why are you here? We didn't ask. Apparently this was so that she didn't have to do the Juno position or arrest. She could just meditate instead. And I was like, again, that's kind of insider baseball. The people at Coachella aren't going to know that. So just do the song. Just do it all the way through and just don't do the arrest. We don't need to gong and meditate. And at that point, we've interrupted the set too many times.
Yeah, I actually don't understand that. Like, I don't understand, oh, she's going to meditate instead of arresting anybody. It's like, I don't get that. I don't get the logic on that. Why don't we just do nothing?
It was do it to do it.
Do it to do it. I can,
Let
so
her
I
do
may
it.
As well.
She might as well. Then we get into one of the divas of the night. She arises back. Wait, was she, the Juno outfit, was that different to the espresso outfit? It was.
She took, actually, I'm so glad you brought that up, because when she first came out to do Juno, I thought it was a giant bow and I was losing my fucking mind. It's like a cape fixture sort of thing. If it was a giant bow, that would have been my inspo for the rest of all time, but it wasn't, but I'm going to pretend that it was. She takes it off for right. espresso.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
Espresso, she had her claw clip in her hair. I saw a lot of people being mad about that. I thought it was kind of cute and chic. She's doing this whole part of the set is like sloppy. It's like the showgirl at the end of the night. All the people around her, there's a nun. There's like yeah. a man in a baby costume. Like it's supposed to be a little stupid. And I mean, there's something so beautiful about, I said I would come and headline the next time I would be here. And here's where I am with the song that started it all. And it reminded me again, the espresso, it's one of those songs, girls. If you can get an espresso, your career is basically fixed and solved forever.
I'm interested that people were mad that she put a claw clip. I don't understand that. This is what happens when you become really the diva. People will take issue with any goddamn thing. She put a claw clip like in.
Picking okay. her apart and Justin Bieber farted on stage for an hour and a half. Like, it's just so not fair. The double standards were so clear. But I thought espresso was a gag. And I think that her
espresso
one dancer
was amazing.
In My the white set. Shorts, he's the hottest man alive.
Didn't even know that man existed.
He's my boyfriend.
I did not know that man existed. My husband. One of my favorite parts, like her interactions with like a cast member, was when he's doing the guitar solo and she's like going fucking insane over the guitar solo, and he's like laughing because she's going so crazy. I was like, this is great. I loved it. It was really cute.
I think she really started to loosen up here because she was like, we're in the home stretch. It's almost over. I fucking yeah. did it. And espresso, it must be so much fun to perform that song because that is a Coachella song. That's a song that you play. Everybody in that room knows the song and they're ready to fucking dance. Then she does Goodbye, which, okay, fine, makes sense. And we end with Tears. And I keep wanting to say to Sabrina, Tears is not who you think she is. She's not the girl.
She had an idea in her head and she said, I need to be sprayed down expeditiously. And
it was amazing.
And I sat with me gushing, literally gushing on stage. There you have it.
It looked
incredible.
It had
incredible. To be at the end. It had
when
to be the
seat
the
came up into the sky, I was like, now this yeah. is crazy. The amount
she
of work.
She could slip off that. Yeah. She could slip off that anytime. It was kind of dangerous.
And then she got into the car and said goodbye. And I said, she's driving back to do Life of a Showgirl. Then I saw the credits on the screen and I said.
I thought okay. her driving off the set was really cute, especially because like she really was driving off and like waving to everybody she was going by. Oh, to have been in the crowd at that moment, waving goodbye to Sabrina in her car. I would have loved it.
Just for that moment, though, as we've established, yeah. Coachella flop.
Yeah, it was good. It was amazing. One thing, I didn't bring this up at any point, but I didn't think they utilized the catwalk enough.
Mm-mm.
That was kind of like my big take. Obviously, they're building these big, beautiful sets. We should probably focus on them, but like the catwalk is like we built this big, beautiful catwalk and we're doing Don't Smile on it and the intro to House Tour. And that's kind of it. And goodbye, to be fair.
Not to bring it back to Beyonce all the time, but Beyonce was up, down that catwalk. The catwalk came up, the catwalk flew
back
around.
To Beyonce all the time. Well, I think it's fair to bring
it's
it
not
back
fair,
to Beyonce.
But it's not fair to compare, especially Sabrina at this point, to Beyonce.
It isn't.
It's not fair. That's hateful.
It's hateful. It's like you can never, because it was like the first really big, like, you know, this changed Coachella forever. Nobody could ever truly beat it. It is like history made, and everybody just has to frantically try to meet that expectation and clear that bar. That's all anybody can do from here on out, period.
I think I prefer the main pop girl headliner to be someone like a Rihanna, a Beyonce, a Taylor, someone with a really deep reservoir of hits that can do a set that has you out of your seat the entire time. I'm waiting for the Rihanna Coachella. I would have preferred Rihanna Coachella over Super Bowl any day.
Yeah,
she was supposed to do it and pulled out.
Was this, what was the reason? She just didn't feel like it or?
I think she was pregnant.
That was what I was going to assume. Period. She's a mother.
Well,
she's a mother. It's one of my favorite references of all time.
She's a mother.
Period.
Well, thank you, Sabrina. You were everything.
Thank
I would say the most interesting set of the weekend for sure. Shall we get back to this bitch the other day that had a lot to say about me in the press? The other headliner of this evening, Justin Bieber, Mr. Peptide Lip Treatment, Mr. Pocket Blush, Mr. Glazing Fluid.
Mr. Road. His name is officially Justin Road, and mm-hmm. he should just accept it.
His set looked like a Road product, no?
It reminded me of something Kim Kardashian would really like. You know,
yeah,
like
it's
that,
actually
like
a lot of people were comparing
scheme.
It to Kanye's show that he just did.
So when he first came out and like I was first looking at it, I couldn't quite tell what it was. It looked like he was on a big globe. And I was like, thank God somebody is stealing that amazing idea from that fucking stupid Kanye show. Still can't believe people went to that, by the way. Insane. But thank God somebody is taking that idea because it's a really great idea. But then, of course, it was just like, I don't know, quite know what it was.
A urinal cake. A circle. Honestly, if you've ever seen a urinal cake, it was a urinal cake. That's literally exactly what it was. And it kind of looked like a skateboard rink almost as well. Like I was expecting maybe someone would come and slide down.
He should have been skateboarding around.
Literally anything. And this is the thing. You got $10 million and I presume on top of that, a budget to create whatever you could possibly dream of. And everything about this set was giving to me last minute.
No, it definitely, and it's like talking about earlier, it's like, you could definitely tell that Sabrina and her team and everybody involved spent months and months and months preparing for that. Justin's set did kind of give, I started thinking about this 3 weeks ago, which is like really ironic because he's saying like, I've always wanted to do this. He said that multiple times, like this has been a dream of mine to do Coachella. And it's like, but you know, I don't feel like you're showing us that it's been your dream. I feel like you're showing us that you want to be taken seriously as this like new kind of artist. That's what you're really showing us. You want to be taken seriously, not by the girls and women who have stood in the hot sun all day to see you, but by men. And you'll notice that men are not standing in this fucking crowd. When he did a call and repeat, like he held the microphone out and you could hear the crowd singing, the tone of that repeat was women, female voices, nothing but. And you're out here trying to appeal to men? I find it interesting.
I find it very interesting. And also, if Coachella was your dream, do you not understand what Coachella is? Because Coachella is supposed to be like a crowning legacy achievement of your career. It's supposed to be a tour de force. It's supposed to show what you've done for the industry over the years. It's supposed to remind people actually of what you're really good at. And the only way that I think you could have come away from this positively is if you are a believer. Or if you really loved Swag and Swag 2, not just Swag 1, you have to have loved Swag 2 as well. And I thought the intro performance of All I Can Take was pretty good. And then I was saying, now what?
You know, the one bone that I really do have to give Justin, and this is something that I was thinking the whole time, and I always think it every single time he fucking performs, no backtrack. He fucking sings. He's like, he is, in my opinion, the most talented male vocalist like of his generation, period. Mm-hmm. And like, this is what you're doing. We could be doing so many great things. He did eventually take it all off, but it pissed me off so bad. Sunglasses on, hood up, you can't even see him. Again, these girls have waited all fucking day to see you. Can they look at you, please? Like, it pissed me off actually really bad. Take it off. He did.
This is the thing.
To be fair, he did. But it's like, come on, man. You're trying to be so cool that you forgot. These are girls who like to see you. They want to see you. Is that so wrong?
You're also wearing a towel to Coachella. You are wearing a towel.
The outfit was interesting. I didn't expect anything more or less.
He's always like that. Yeah, he's always doing that. I guess I expect a version of Justin Bieber that just doesn't exist anymore. I felt like when he first came out as an artist, he was kind of inspired by Michael Jackson. He had his headset mic on. He was busting a move. There was pyro. There was like stuff going on stage. To me, it seems like he's really lost his passion for performing like that. I think he just wants to sit in a dark room and sing. And that's so fine. And I'm sure there's definitely a market for that if it was a tour that you signed up specifically to see. But for Coachella, this was just not fit for purpose. When the Kid LAROI randomly came out, I was like, okay, finally, like, we're changing the mood a little bit. And then it goes into the most demented, cursed Swag 2 Hillsong church moment. And I especially was like, okay, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you for forcing this on people. No.
I don't even think they did all of Stay. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was short.
No.
The Kid LAROI was on there for 45 seconds.
And what? That was the greatest thing that will ever happen.
You brought him all the way out here for what? To do 45 seconds of Stay. It's a great song. People love that song. But it's like, he even said, like, let's change the mood. Let's get everybody up. And it's like, yes! And then he did it for 45 seconds. Okay, thanks. And, you know, here's my whole issue with it. I don't have an issue with you doing Swag. There are good songs, good to great songs on Swag. I don't have a problem with that. Do Swag. Be taken seriously. But you knew you were wrong for not doing Sorry in its entirety and not doing a real performance of What Do You Mean 2. You were wrong for that. I get you don't want to do Baby. I get you don't want to do Beating a Beat. You can't do Sorry? Come on. You can.
It's unbelievable.
It's in you. You can do you. Sorry. I know that you like it, so just do it. He won't.
I knew from the second that I saw when he walked on stage, there was no band on stage and there was a laptop at a desk. I immediately said, this isn't good. Whatever that is, it's not good. Again, this seemed like a YouTube ad. And his believers are really trying to push the whole, like, he was discovered on YouTube. This is how we all found him for the first time. There's something so sweet about seeing him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I actually don't hate the idea of him. It's kind of cool logging onto the computer, YouTubing stuff. What that should have been confined to was maybe looking at the With You video of him for the first time. That was cute. I also think a song like Favorite Girl, Baby, That Should Be Me, Beauty and a Beat, those are songs, Never Say Never. He doesn't want to do those live. You're right. He doesn't want to do those live, but you want to have a moment with the audience and sing along to them? Sure. When you get into the certified hits, he didn't even Google What Do You Mean. That wasn't even searched. He just did Where Are You Now and Sorry. And I'm saying you should have done a full, you don't want to do dancers, fine. That song is a banger. All you have to do is just stand there and the crowd will do the rest for you. Do Sorry, do Where Are You Now, do What Do You Mean, do Cold Water, give people something. Like, just give people what they came here to have, which is a little bit of a nostalgic moment with you. It wouldn't be that hard.
No, and, like, that's my thing, too. It's like, I don't mind that he got on YouTube and he searched the Baby video and he played it because they liked it. The girls that were like, yeah, like, they really liked it. And it was cute. Honestly, I was thinking, like, can you imagine if Taylor sat down at a laptop and Googled old music videos and old performances? And just, like, watch them with us, I would fucking go catatonic. So, like, that was fine. Baby is fine. Beauty and a Beat was really fun, especially because he got his ass up for once and, like, actually moved around the stage. The energy was too much, and he knew it. He knew he had to get up. Never Say Never, that's fine. I'm saying we could have done that for a solid 8 minutes, and it would have been interesting. Then you started getting into D's Nuts. Then you started into and Double Rainbow. I was literally, and his eyes, I was like, how many gummies did you take?
I want 2 million back trying, for that moment.
They're trying to peddle it. Like, I just saw some Justin Bieber spokesperson said to Entertainment Weekly, everything was planned. You know, every single thing that happened, he knew he was going to do it. And I was like, he got too stoned and put Double Rainbow up on the screen. Just say that. Just admit it. There's no reason
to do that. A sober person wouldn't do that. A sober person wouldn't do that. There's no reason for it.
You know what? You know what I was thinking is, like, when he put up the It's Not Clocking to You video, that would have been a really great moment to transition into a song and be like, okay, we're done with that now. It's Not Clocking to You. Let me get into a song. That didn't happen, did it? No, he kept Googling D's Nuts. It was
people
crazy.
Were leaving also. I've seen videos in the crowd of people leaving before any of that even happened. And that whole segment was giving, we don't have a long enough set. So Justin Bieber, you have about a 30 to 45 minute material gap that you need to fill. And since you don't want to do all of these old songs or you can't be bothered to rehearse them, let's just have you go on YouTube and search them up. That's really what it was giving.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was shocking.
Compared to Sabrina Carpenter, the criticism that she's getting versus the adulation that he's getting is just, it's shocking to me.
And, you know, the other thing about Justin is, like, I don't hate Justin Bieber. I feel like there's a lot of people who are really enjoying this moment because they can get him for something realistic. I don't hate him. I have no issue with him whatsoever. I actually like him most of the time. And I think that whoever he was, I saw somebody posting a video of him performing at, like, some award show when he was, like, 15 and, like, doing the whole thing, microphone on, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, what happened to this Justin? I was like, he's not here anymore, babes.
That was a teen.
He's been gone
a
very long time, and he doesn't want to be that person anymore. And it's like, I respect that 100%. You don't have to get on stage and perform Baby front to you really don't have to. But like, there was a way to do this set that was engaging, that was relatable to people, that like really connected you with your new and your old fan base. I just don't think that this was it. This just wasn't
done right.
No, it
certainly wasn't. And then to like transition into Yukon, Devotion, I Think Your Special, Essence, Daisies, it was like, you have fumbled this bag in a way where it has been boring. And you know what, as well, it's been frustrating. Like, teasing stuff I find to be really disrespectful and irritating to the crowd. Lana can do this as well. She'll be like, I'm going to play this song, but I'm not going to sing it. Like, I'll let the backtrack play, but I'm not going to sing. Lana does that all the time. But even Lana put in more effort into like giving the crowd a payoff than Justin Bieber did here. And what PMO about it is that it's like, it's kind of resentful of the audience. It's like, Well, if you're mad about the way that your career went or whatever the hell happened to you, why are you taking that out on the people that paid and waited in the hot sun to see you? It's not their fault. And if you don't want to, don't do it.
Yeah, nobody made you do it. I mean, I guess we can't say no to 10 milli. I wouldn't.
We can't say no to 10 milli.
We can't say no to 10 milli.
10 million to do basically nothing? Sure.
Oh, I love it. No, that's a payday, baby. I also thought Daisy's closer was crazy. I was like, what are you doing, man?
And also,
I thought it was crazy.
His last tour, the Justice Tour, and this is post him being 15. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe. The one that got canceled and caused all the problems for him. He was dancing and singing. He had his little headset mic on, I'm pretty sure. He was doing Sorry. He was doing Where Are You Now? He was doing What Do You Mean? He didn't do anything from that period of time either. He has that song, Hold On. He has Peaches. I Get My Peaches Out in Georgia. Those aren't old songs that you should be embarrassed by, but they're songs that the crowd would like to hear. So why don't you get up and do them?
I would love to hear Yummy at this point.
Oh, I would. Yummy would have had me out of my seat after Devotion Hallelujah. Give me Yummy. I got that yummy, yum. Yep.
Yeah, the Hillsong behavior of Justin is, in my opinion, the most egregious thing that he does. I get it. Diva,
it's
do whatever you like. If you're going to do it, can it at least serve? And it doesn't. It's boring. Everybody, there's a million songs just like this. You ever heard John Legend? He's doing this. So
and
get something
better.
New. And it's better. And it's better. Thank you. So
if I had seen it, I would have been pissed, to be honest. If I was there, I would have been like, I have waited all day for this. Fuck that.
Yeah. My overall take is I also think because he's like the only man who has like this high profile of a set, he's getting a lot of the misandry lashings. And misandry is fun.
Deserved.
Don't get me wrong. Misandry is fun. Don't get me wrong. But it's like now Justin Bieber being like the one that people are getting for the gender gap. I'm like, well, but he has done it before. But he has. Let's get some of these fucking dudes. Let's get some of these fucking dudes who have never.
Harry Styles is putting in more effort.
Up. And I would rather watch Daisy's on the Coachella set. I would rather watch Daisy's than Harry Styles do his David Byrne impression. I would.
Well, I would give this set a 4 out of 10. That would be my feeling on it.
I don't know what I would give it. I would never watch it again, and I want the discourse to stop. That was kind of my take on it. I would love to like never hear about it again. But unfortunately, it's happening again next weekend. It all
and I
repeats.
Guarantee you, he will take no notes. There will be
no
notes taken.
There are. I actually saw, what publication was it? I can't remember. The New York Post magazine or something like that. And it was like the resident Belieber. And he was talking about like all of the things that he found so profound about the performance. And it kind of made me feel like there's a pill I didn't take. I didn't, like, I wasn't sitting there despising it. I was skipping through most of it. But like
be
getting
bootlickers.
Something...
Be
like revelatory or like revolutionary out of this set, you're missing me a little bit.
But
like,
see,
I'm not
to me that's
that.
Where the misandry lashings come in, and it's not necessarily because of Justin. It's actually more of a commentary on how people are responding to it.
Well, obviously, no. I mean, like, obviously, the gender gap is like obviously a thing that actually exists. Like, obviously, I know that. I'm aware that the gender gap is real. But what I'm saying is, because Justin is the only man who has like a set that anybody's really paying that much attention to, other than Somber, who I guess was amazing, but I didn't watch it. He's like the only one who's becoming like the focal point of this conversation. If we think about his career as a huge thing instead of just this one Coachella moment, he's done the fucking thing before. So it's
he's
kind
definitely
of like,
done it before. He has
he's
it in
done
him to
the
do
fucking
it again.
Thing before. So that's all I was trying to say.
He's on a different beat. And you know what? If you want to go with him on that journey, God bless you. Enjoy Swag 2.
Enjoy Swag
Hallelujah.
2. I've never heard it.
Hallelujah.
I have never heard Swag 2 in my
Hallelujah. I love my lip peptide treatment. Why don't we talk about something that served cunt? And understood the assignment and was good and I loved and I clapped and cheered for Addison Rae. Or should I just say Addison? She seems to really be dropping the Rae in a big way. It's just Addison.
She's been trying to drop it. She's been trying to drop it. Is everybody on board
like
with
it.
That? No. I like Addison Rae. But if she wants to drop it, I'm supporting her. I'll support her. But Addison Rae is not bad. That's what I would say to her if I was in conversation. I would say, I know we're trying to move away because it's associated with something, but let's not cringe away. Let's lean in. Because I
love
think
the
it's
hair. Good. That's yeah. my first note.
The
love
red
this
hair is looking really, 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 really quite delicious. It's got like a certain kind of tone to it. The thing about red that's really dangerous is there's so many different tones and kinds of red that you can do. I think they really found the perfect tone of red for her, and it looks amazing.
I'd say it's very difficult to find a tone of red that looks good with pink, and they have found it. So that is an accomplishment. That's an expensive hairdresser that managed to get that going for her. But I thought opening with Diet Pepsi was really smart. Do you remember in Amsterdam, we were like, okay, it makes sense that Diet Pepsi is the closing number, but it's just, it doesn't really have like a finale energy to it. And yeah, they had the pyro and everything, but like, it is just kind of a bit of a slow burn of a song. And I thought that opening with your biggest hit instead is a much better idea.
I totally agree. One of my favorite things about the set is that you can see the way they had the camera set up, you could see the wheels on all the set pieces. That's normally something that you would try to cover up. And the fact that they were just out and you could see them, like, really added something to this like DIY pop star sort of a thing. And I was like, this is cunt. The fact that I can see the wheels of the set pieces is so fucking cunty to me. Period.
I thought it was meant, the set design was meant to be like, again, because Addison's whole thing is like this, I'm building my pop legacy in public. You're watching me do it. You're helping me do it. It definitely felt very much like we're constructing something together, or you're seeing my rehearsal kind of vibe. And I think that that is so cunt. And again, the Britney references, I was getting serious Onyx Hotel tour vibes, like from the outfit, from the choreo, mm-hmm. from the staging and
very,
the set.
It was very, very cabaret.
It was very Onyx Hotel.
It was amazing. The way that they utilized like that one big set piece when she comes up on the A and then it becomes the ceiling of this like big set piece, they used that thing in every possible way they could have. I thought it was like dangerous. They had like not necessarily Addison, but like the dancers were like hanging off of it and like climbing all over it. It was high up.
Well, when
was,
it
like,
flung
why
her off,
she's gonna fall. Yeah, and she
for fame as a gun,
fell
I was like,
backwards.
Ah!
Yeah, it was. It was kind of scary, but you know what? That's commitment 100%. They were committed to the bit. I love the stripper pole. I loved pretty much everything about the staging. It was like, this is kind of like how you do, like, my budget was Hot Pockets for the crew and $10, and yet I'm still going to serve you pop excellence in every possible way. Period.
I loved it. And I thought that the choreography was really, really good throughout as well. Her choreography is very different to other pop stars. I find it's very lyrical. It's almost like interpretive dance most of the time. Like, it's very languid, and it's not very, like, I think a lot of the choreo, when you look at something like Cat's Eye, it's very precise and, like, precision-oriented. Right. And Addison's is much more lackadaisical.
She's also like, the choreo just like gets better and better and better and better. There are moments that like really surprised me. Like, there was this moment where it's like a big jump with like her legs spread out and her knees pulled up in the like 4 or 5 inch boots, and she lands it. I was like, that's crazy. Doing the kind of reminded me of the Tate McRae thing from the Revolving Door video where she goes backwards.
Oh, she puts
and
her
like
leg
flips.
Over her head.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy in 5 inch booted heels. Not just anybody can do that.
She's working.
This is like, she's work every day. She's in the dance studio fucking working to learn how to do this. Like, this is the try hard behavior of all time. She's trying hard and it's paying off. Like, I'm noticing it. Like, it's getting better and better and better.
Even the vocals are not that bad.
Are there moments where we need to let the track play? Choreo during Fame is a Gun. Shh. Yeah, but like, yeah, when she's In the Rain was a great choreo or a great vocal moment. Times Like These was a great vocal moment. She sounds
high
good
fashion.
On Diet Pepsi. Sorry, I'm saying it. She sounds good a lot. I don't know. I guess I'm just
And also
I'm
the thing
ass.
Is people are always like, Addison sounds good. And you know what? Everything is relative. When I say Taylor sounds good, I don't mean Taylor sounds like Mariah Carey. When I say Addison sounds good, I'm not saying she's Celine Dion. I'm saying that for what she's capable of, she sounds great. And also, you know what? She's singing a lot more than a lot of these other girls are singing when they have to dance like that. So I'm cheering. I'm saying she's trying, and she also gets clowned on so much for her vocals, and yet she continues to sing live. There's something very nah about that, and I love it.
And I like it, and I clap and I cheer. She's live on the mic. What are you going to do about it? She knows it makes you mad. She knows it makes she me knows so mad. It makes me mad.
The I got it bad performance, I had full body chills.
It was diva. There's nothing else to say but diva. Cunt, serve, never been down before, wig, snatch, et cetera, boots.
And that choreo that they all make fun of, I'm like, just say you weren't right. around for peak Britney. Just say you weren't.
Oh my God. That reminds me. I just saw a reel where somebody was like breaking down all of the Britney references that were in the performance.
Ah, and I'm send watching, it to me.
And I went into the comments against my wishes. Against my better judgment, I went into the comments and it was all, stop saying she's Britney. And like all these gifs of Britney making like stink faces. I was like, but there's nobody else right now who is doing Britney like this. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't understand how this is disrespectful to you people. Like, this is homage. She is taking it and making it her own. But like people like us and like many people watching, when they see a Britney reference, they know what it is. And they are through the fucking roof with joy and happiness. Britney fans who are like, I just don't get that. I just don't get that attitude.
Addison's it's also like pulling deep cuts. She's pulling Onyx Hotel. She's pulling Dream Within a Dream Tour. Like she's pulling, you know, when we say that Tate McRae is kind of like Britney, only in the sense that it's serving choreography. She's not finding specific Britney-isms, Britney moments, and zeroing in on them. We know firsthand, Addison is thinking about Britney and she is paying homage to her, and she would never deny a reference. She's not going to stand here and say, I don't really know Britney like that. She's going to say, this is the song from Britney that I love the most. This is the choreo that I'm referencing. This is the tour that inspired me. And she's doing her own thing. It's not a Britney right. cosplay. It's not a Britney copy. There's something way more kind of like, Britney was serious. It had to be serious. She was the biggest pop star in the world. Addison is very playful. She's having a lot more fun than Britney was ever allowed to have with her own discography. I think a lot of what Addison is doing now would be what Britney would have done had we allowed her to like really be her own artist and be herself and enjoy what she was doing on stage. I thought Money Is Everything in New York were incredible. Thank you.
Those were definitely moments. Let's see. What did I, because I highlighted my favorite moments. So New York.
Oh, In the Rain. The In the Rain choreo. Oh my God.
It's always so good. High Fashion is normally I don't like that song, but I thought the performance of it was amazing. And then of course, Fame Is a Gun. I love Fame Is a Gun every time. It always hits hard. I love the choreo for that song. It's just cunt. I love the trench coat. I love everything about it. It's just gorgeous.
It's Gorgina. Getting better and better.
It is. Everything is just getting better. And people are still, it's crazy to me that people don't see how far she's come. Like, honestly, if you compare Obsessed, which like a lot of people like Obsessed, but like when I still hear that song, I still think like this is exactly what I'd think a TikTok dancer would create. I don't think that about anything that's come out on Addison at all. I don't even think that about I Got It Bad. I Got It Bad clears.
I Got It Bad clears. I also thought that it must be very, honestly, I really, really feel for Addison because I think that she's trying to do something that is so specific and so if you get it, you get it. And the way that culture and social media is now, the hardest thing that you can be is an artist that is an if you get it, you get it artist. I feel this way about FKA Twigs too, because someone put an out of context clip of her doing the, didn't I do it? Like that part. And everybody is clowning her in the comments. And I'm like, you know what? She's one of those artists that you really can't extrapolate from the context. Like she is good. Even if it's not my thing or I don't like it or I don't really understand it fully, I can respect that she is an artist and she's creating art. Addison, to me, is one of those people as well. It's like when you pull her singing Bad during the Fame Is a Gun chorus out of context.
It's not right.
Yeah, sure. It's going to look weird. But when you put it in the context, sometimes her like whisper singing, her needing to catch her breath is part of it. It's Britney. It's a thing. It's an aesthetic.
You know the shit that she does that at once I find like really cunt and it also makes me cringe? I love New York.
But it's so earnest. Like, you can't not can't be like,
hate,
okay.
I can't hate it. I can't. It's so Addison. It's so her. I love Coachella. I
was like, yeah, yes! And you just have to let her. And I go, woo! You freak? Yes. Yes,
because
Diva.
It's so weird and like dorky. It's like, oh, yes. Yes, I love New York too. I love New York
and
too.
And she's what can so I much say? More self-aware than people realize. Like when she was going through the crowd being like, you're just here to see Bieber. Haha, okay, bye. And then at the end she goes, to my haters, suck my dick. That's the most I've ever heard her like really reference this wave. Because I think since the Grammys, it's been Addison negativity everywhere I look. And it must have felt really fucking good for her to deliver that set and go, suck my dick.
Yeah, I'm at Coachella, and where are you? And where are
you? You are either in touch with your divine feminine and you're a cool, hot, sexy pop culture obsessive who loves references and loves Britney, or you don't get it. That's it. I'm sick of trying to explain this to people.
I do want to bring up something that I'm still quandering, which is Maddie Ziegler.
We don't really care.
I don't like Aquamarine that much.
I'm happy to say it. It's just not my favorite Addison song.
You know, I would have to agree, although I do find that I get stuck in my head a lot. And I'm the only girl.
Like, and the choreo is great. The choreo is very good.
The choreo is great. I like it live. I never listen to it. That's what I'd say about Aquamarine. I love the Aquamarine choreo. Amazing. Always looks good. Diva, et cetera, et cetera. This was my favorite set. I preferred this to Sabrina, if I'm being totally honest with you. Because it was front to back.
It was shorter. Yeah. It felt... I don't know. And you know what? Having seen the tour, it's really different to the tour.
It is. Yeah. Like, it didn't just feel like, oh, here she is doing the tour again. Like, there was a new set piece. There was different choreo. She was performing songs in a kind of a different way. I thought it was great. Although I did miss that one. What is the name of that song that she does with Charlie, that Charlie did a feature on?
Oh, To Die For.
To Die For. I really like that. I like that
song. Listen, I missed Obsessed. I love that song.
I wouldn't have hated it. I would have cheered.
I would have cheered more for that than times like these. I do like times like these, but
well, in the set, the short set. Well, I noticed she loves to stack times like these and In the Rain back to back. I don't think we should do that. I think we should spread them out. Just kind of my take.
No. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, Addison, you win my personal, like, I think Sabrina Carpenter's was the best because of, like, the amount of effort that took into it.
Objectively, right.
But my favorite was Addison also. I was up the entire time, seated. I wasn't bored.
Yeah, seated. Nope.
There was
wasn't
no board.
Bored. No. Never bored. Not by Addison. Thank you so much. Red hair? Thank you.
Speaking of bored, Cat's Eye.
The outfits, we really need to consult about this. Somebody needs to consult.
One of them was wearing I think Sophia was wearing a thong as a top.
This is like a thing now. Hayley Williams was just at one of her Ego Death shows. She was wearing a skirt as a top or a top as a skirt. I can't remember.
Why? Is my question. Kind of
people are doing stuff like this now.
They're running out of ways to be
it's
not like
skinny
the other
girl
girls.
Thing. It really is skinny girl nonsense. Like, I can, so I may as well. It's like, okay, whatever you say.
You do that.
Yeah, you do that.
I thought the first two songs actually were kind of cunt. Pinky Up into Debut, I was like, yeah, they're serving, they're taking it, they're performing. And then they get into Mean Girls and I'm like, oh, I forgot you don't have any fucking good songs. How are we going to do an entire set out of this?
Yeah. How many songs do they have? 10?
Yeah. That's why they have to do Gabriella 10-minute version.
Pinky up. Up. Pinky up.
Another thing apparently was that the crowd at Coachella was a lot younger this year, a lot of high schoolers, and apparently they were all there to see Cat's Eye.
Okay. And what do you do at Coachella when you're 16 is my question.
See Cat's Eye.
You can't, you're probably not doing, I mean, you probably are doing drugs, but you can't get any alcohol. Now what?
No alcohol, no cella for me.
Yeah. No alcohol, no cella. So you're sober at Cat's Eye. I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
Pinky up. Dope. Pinky up.
Pinky up.
It's a bad Blackpink song.
Pinky up. It's the only part of the song I know. Pinky up. What do you want me to say? Pinky up.
Manon not mentioned. There was a lot of drama about that.
Yeah, I wonder when the tell-all is going to happen. I want to know. I'm nosy. I don't care about any of this, but I want to know. I'm nosy.
The tell-all for a band that doesn't even have an album out. That's the craziest thing ever to me. No album out. We're doing Coachella. But keep the album. Keep the album. We hate the damn album. We don't want the damn album.
Is there an album coming out? Like, have they announced it?
Apparently, it's just going to be another EP.
Okay. Well.
Well.
And no comment. Well, no comment. No comment.
Literally
no comment.
No comment. Debut, that's their only song that I'm, like, really into. I like that. It was fun, I guess. Mean Girls is a boring song. Really boring.
I've never heard it. I don't know it.
Did you watch the set or just like bits and pieces you did?
No, I only saw bits and pieces of it.
Okay, so Touch was good. They did Golden with the Demon Hunter girls and they somehow made it boring. I don't know how they managed to do this, but they somehow made it boring.
People, I saw people cheering. They were like, yeah, they did golden.
Then it was Game Boy and Internet Girl, and the crowd was going wild for Eat Zucchini. I mean, if you're 15, I'm sure Eat Zucchini is crazy.
No, Eat Zucchini. Eat Zucchini. You know,
it like makes a lot more sense when you realize it's for like 14-year-olds.
It does. It's like, oh, okay, so this is what's going on. When you see it, look around at the crowd and you gauge the age, it's like, okay, now I'm understanding the song. Didn't get it before. Now I'm seeing the vision. And it's not my vision, and I don't want to see it anymore.
I think something that they struggle with, on top of not having enough material to do a set, is that they're not good hosts of the crowd. They're such good performers, but they're quite shy, it seems. So they kind of read, when we're in between songs, as NPCs. Like, when they were introducing Golden, like, nobody was really sure who was talking or who was going to say something. You can kind of look at them being like, who's saying something next? And you need to assign a person that does the crowd interactions and let them do it. And then you chime in occasionally. It can't be like 30 seconds of silence while we wait to see who's going to like say something or address the crowd. They all said, thank you, Coachella. This is a dream individually. And it took them like 10 minutes to do it. It's like, girls, we need, I think their label has just thrown them into the wolves, like putting them into a Coachella set with no songs and really not a lot of performance experience in this setting is setting them up.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean,
I like that song MIA. MIA is actually a pretty good song. I'll go MIA. Sure. Why not?
Period.
Gnarly. Someone moved and it wasn't me.
Everything's gnarly. The what was that? The summer that came out? That was a dark summer for me. It was everywhere.
Madeline was going to delete her social media. She was like, I'm over.
And I had enough.
It's not doing that for Pinky Up so far. Thank God.
No, I don't think it can be done. The thing about Gnarly was that at that point, it was something so freaky deaky that people were interested in how freaky it was. But now, like, that's the boy who cried wolf.
Now we have Internet Girl. Again and again. And now we have Pinky Up. But they think. I'll let them think that. So Cat's Eye, to me, they weren't ready to do Coachella this year.
No, I definitely think it was a little soon. But I also wonder if somebody was thinking, let's grab this by the horns while the opportunity is there. Because it may not always be there. The band is perhaps disintegrating in our fingers. It may be.
It's literally falling apart in front of our very eyes. Okay, well, Ethel Kane, neither of us watched her full set because it was kind of hard to find. I saw American Teenager, and then I saw that she did some of the Pervert songs, and I was like, and she did an interlude out of 8 songs, and I was like, okay, that's about enough.
I really liked her set, the set design, spooky Alabama swamp, amazing. I mean, but what do you expect her to do? She also had custom Dior overalls that I thought were ridiculous, but very Ethel Kane. And it was made specifically for her. It said on the label, Dior for Ethel Kane. I thought that was really fun.
They did Sabrina Carpenter too. I noticed that in Sabrina her Instagram Carpenter. Dump.
Yeah. Thank you, so Dior. That's kind of what I have to say about Ethel. She's, you know, she's freaking Ethel. I love Ethel. I love the set. I didn't get to see it because I missed it and Coachella's evil and they don't let you watch it. So there you have it.
Well, let's move on over to Slater. I thought this was really fucking cool. She had everybody at 3 p.m. They put her on at an ungodly hour. She had everybody at 3 p.m. behaving like it was 3 a.m. Not just anybody can do that.
You know what I would like to say about this whole thing is that finally, you know, the country thing is moving on. And we're moving into this era where everybody in the Midwest is saying, you want to see what real freaks are up to? This is what's happening.
Yes, we do.
You want to know what's going on in the Midwest at any given time? This is what's going on in the Midwest. So I really enjoyed the set. The thing about that is like, I watched the set and I was like, I want to listen to the album again, listen to it again. And I was like, this perhaps performs better live was kind of like my immediate response to it. I was like, it's so much better live. It's fucking crazy. It's insane how much better it is live. So it's situational to me. Like, I'm not just going to sit and listen to Crank.
Crank
I'm not just going to sit and play. Yeah. That it's something that is like, it has to be played in the right situation. And luckily for everybody, perhaps the perfect situation is 3 p.m. at Coachella to go insane. It's a really good pregame kind of a moment. I loved her outfit. That was my favorite thing. And I loved her hair extensions.
The hat.
Went crazy. The hat. I loved the giant belt and the ridiculous belt buckle. I loved that she had a pack of Marlboros in her front pocket. I loved the strapless top. It was just like the perfect Midwest gas station slut apparel that you've ever seen in your life. It was just, I loved the outfit probably more than anything else. It was amazing.
And she didn't have a lot to work with in terms of budget. And also what's really impressive is this album just came out. Like it just came out and people are moving for it. I got the sense when I was watching it, I was kind of like getting Chapel Coachella vibes. I was thinking she's on the precipice of like a big come up. I don't think her music isn't commercial enough to have a Chapel come up, but I think that she's really going to elevate into like an early Charlie kind of figure. And I think that she's harder than Charlie. She's like weirder, she's edgier. And I think that people are really finally responding to it. Also, Madeline, I know the perfect circumstance for us to listen to this album. Getting ready for show, getting ready for tour.
Yeah, well, you have to crank it. You do, mm-hmm. You absolutely have to crank it. Before.
Especially in Vancouver and San Francisco, we're really gonna need to crank it.
The best performance, in my opinion, Yes God, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want.
I'm Actually Kind of Famous. I love that song.
Yes, that one's really famous. That one's really hilarious. You know what? I've been seeing a lot of her interviews because she's coming up in my algorithm a lot. So I've been watching a ton of her interviews, and I saw her mention that she has a Jesus tattoo. I thought it was the word Jesus, and I was like, oh. And then I saw it, and I was like, that's actually really cunt.
She's cunt.
Because it's his face. It's like kind of hilarious, and like there's something really ironic about it now. She got it at a time when it wasn't ironic. But like now it is, and it's like kind of fucking hilarious. I wouldn't remove it either. I'd be like,
if you want to meet a real 365 party girl, it's Slater.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the thing. Is like the thing about Brat. It's like if you want to compare Worst Girl in America and Brat in terms of like what people consider them to be, which is like both of these albums are considered to be party girl. Play it before you get ready to go out. I would rather listen to Slater because Brat is much more. Like, there's a lot going on there, and it's not just 365 Party Go. Like, I'm not saying that the whole album that's later is all about partying either, but, like, I'd rather listen to Crank It.
It's also the sounds that we're working with on yeah. Worst Girl in America. It's kind of more straightforwardly dance music, whereas Charlie, I think, still definitely has one hand in the PC music, so it can get a little bleep bloop from time to time. Slater, interestingly to me, there's a lot of live instruments on Worst Girl in America. Like, she really focused on guitars, really distorted bass. Like, she was cooking in a way that wasn't so electronic, which I think gives it a texture that is more listenable. But, yeah, Slater, she bootsed.
Yeah, it was a really good set. And 3 p.m., I would be there.
I'd be there. I'd be there.
And again, that was like
fucked up afterwards.
The main crowd that I saw that was there to see a
show.
Yeah, the influencers down. Were there. Yeah, people, and they were screaming too. I was like, well, see, now these are people who came here to do Coachella and to have mm-hmm. fun, not phone in the air. Let me get my picture of Justin Bieber.
Not this is going to be Astroworld.
That's insane. I feel like we glossed over it. That is fucking crazy. Like, I can't get over it. That's
if I heard
diabolical.
That, I would have been like, I'm out. Bye.
It's not
Couldn't
funny.
Couldn't be me. I won't be Astroworld.
No.
You won't see me there.
No, I'm not doing that. No way. Especially not for Justin Bieber. I'm not going down for his worst set of all time.
Oh, no.
I'm not going down for the worst Justin Bieber set ever.
That should be me. No.
Would I go down for Addison? I could be taken.
Yeah.
I'd say, no, take me now, Lord. I'm ready.
You could have gotten me a little bit there.
Yeah.
I think also, so the last person, I guess, to discuss, who else do you want to talk about? I mean, I didn't really get to see all of CMAT, but her set was very short. Oh, Pink Pantheress rocked out with her cock out.
Oh, she did. You know what? I watched some of it live. The thing that took me the most was her outfit changes. The bow, the top that was like a bra with a bow on top. That was so cool.
I need to look at it.
The tiny red dress, and she had one blue tight leg and the other was bare. It was cunt. Like
I saw when Tyreek Withers came out, I was like, oh my God, that's a man.
She did this moment. I can't remember because I was kind of like watching it and doing something else at the same time. There was this moment where there's like a DJ on set on stage, I believe, and he was just like playing Rush by Troye Sivan. And I was like, period. This is everything. Turn it up louder.
I saw on TikTok that Zara Larsson is going to Coachella next weekend. So she needs to pop out and do stateside. That would serve.
Absolutely. Well, I'm also expecting Taylor Chella next weekend between you and me. I'm kind of expecting an appearance. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it won't
to
happen.
To support Sabrina. But it's like,
what else is on the schedule, et cetera, et cetera.
What else are we doing?
Yeah, so just asking.
You don't have to do Life of a Showgirl, but you could stand and look pretty.
No, but you can
crowd.
Go to Coachella. I mean, the thing is, like, Taylor having fun is, it's kind of like getting a new song to me. I'm like, there she is, and I get to see her.
I want to see a video of her holding hands with Travis and cranking it. I want to see Taylor and Slater. That's what I want to see.
There is, and I think I said this to you, Slater, like, her, what she reminds me of the most is probably Kesha. In, like, all possible ways, from, like, hair to attitude to, like, the kind of music that she's making. And people used to say that Kesha was if you gave Taylor Swift liquor, like, way in 2010, like, way back in the day, at the very beginning of both of their careers. And it's like, I don't even know. I guess Slater would be Taylor if, you know, she cranked
it. Gave her methamphetamines, maybe?
She cranked it. What do you want me to say?
She cranked it the fuck up. Yeah. I saw this interview with Slater where the interviewer very seriously was like, you know, you're one of the only people that has made a symbol, like, part of your thing, talking about the dollar sign. And she answered it kind of earnestly. And I was like, wait, you're a Kesha stan. We need to,
she was
we
being
need to
nice.
Cite the reference. We need to say, hello, I didn't start this. Key dollar
she's
sign,
way
huh?
too nice.
Hello. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
She didn't want to humiliate him.
Well, and you know what? I would say that would be a moment where I'd say, you need to be humiliated. Have you ever heard of Kesha?
Yeah, that's actually crazy.
Have you ever heard of Kesha?
She also talks about Kesha so much, and I really see the influence in her.
No, to me, it's absolutely beautiful. A lot of times when I'm listening to Slater, it gives me this deep craving to listen to Kesha. It's like, if I don't listen to Sleazy right now, I'm going to go fucking insane.
Oh, and that's her favorite song. That's Slater's favorite Kesha song.
And we knew that, and we fucking knew that. That's probably, like, of all of Kesha's songs, like, off the top of my head, Sleazy is the most Slater-coded Kesha song. Easy.
God, they need to collab. They really need to collab.
The absolute end of the world that would occur, it's kind of like a hole in the space-time continuum. They can't be in the same room at the same time.
No.
Because it's too powerful.
If they toured together, wow.
That would be powerful. That, and they need to come back to Billings. Kesha loves to come to Billings. I don't know why.
Bring her back.
She actually. Bring them back. I can't say that on the YouTube. Sorry. I'll say it in Kiki Lounge. I guess you'll just have to go to patreon.com/astrologist.
To get that. And also don't forget to go to evolutionofasnake.com and get tickets to the Showgirl Experience. It's coming up soon. We're starting in May and we want to see you. Get your ass up and buy tickets now. Thank you.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.